I've seen this movie before. That one ends in tears. I can tell you exactly what happened.
It's early days.
They don't get it, and they don't seem to care.
I will step down as the leader of the National Party and Deputy Prime Minister.
A government that is bitterly divided.
We've got to raise the standards of journalism a little bit here.
All true. Hi, I'm Fran Kelly from RN Breakfast.
I'm Patricia Carvelis from RN Drive. I have been on the edge of my seat, Fran. Barnaby Joyce has now resigned as Deputy Prime Minister and as Nationals leader. It's happened.
Yes, when the leader of the Nats, who's having a week off, of course, to reflect and consider his future, called a press conference, everyone thought, well, perhaps this is it. He's going to call on the spill. Well, he's not even bothering with the spill. He's seen the writing on the wall. The allegation he's told us during this press conference that came out, that formal complaint of sexual harassment that was made in WA to the WA Nats, he described as the straw that broke the camel's back. He said, obviously, I can't go the dispatch box while something like that is still being inquired into. So he said basically this was a circuit breaker for Vicky, a circuit breaker for my son, a circuit breaker for my daughters, and a circuit breaker for Nat. That's his ex-wife. He said, it's got to stop. So he stopped it. But of course, a lot of Nats looking at that will go, well, mate, you should have done this a little earlier. And certainly a lot more Libs looking at that would have said that.
That's right. They're very frustrated that it's taken so long. 3 weeks of what has been essentially a political crisis. And it's gone worse. It got worse and worse and worse. Of course, calling the Prime Minister inept, that was a massive crisis point. But it's deteriorated since. Of course, these allegations make it even worse. But Nats, I got to say, when he even called the press conference, many of them, and we were all texting them trying to figure out what was going on, were saying they weren't sure. They didn't know. Yeah. There was a lot of people not informed and a lot of frustration. And of course, then the Financial Review published a story saying it was about to happen. It did happen. Certainly he's taken too long, but now the Nats find themselves in a really difficult position where they have to find a leader on Monday.
Well, let's let people know what he actually did say. He said, on Monday I will go into the National Party room meeting at Parliament House in Canberra at 8 a.m. and I will resign as leader and go to the backbench. What that means, what's implicit from that then, Patricia, is that the Nats must have a leadership ballot. So at this point, we don't know who's put up their hand for that. There was one MP, David Gillespie, who said yesterday if there's a vacancy, then he'll put up his hand for it. But I'm not sure there's too many people that think David Gillespie will be the leader that emerges. We don't know. We don't know how many candidates there'll be and who there'll be. But that is it. 8 o'clock Monday morning, they gather around that party room table and they're going to have a vote.
They're going to have a vote. So all of their options, Michael McCormack being the other one, the Veterans Affairs Minister who's been touted for a while, all of their options are pretty low profile. In fact, I think I reckon some of the most low profile Nat potential leaders in contemporary history easily. So they're going to have a really difficult time. They're going to become the Deputy Prime Minister from, let's be clear, from some junior portfolios potentially. They're not even cabinet ministers, you know. The problem, of course, is a few people have said, how about a woman leader? In fact, I thought that might be interesting too. Bridget McKenzie, of course, is the deputy. She's in the Senate, which poses a problem. She's also a Victorian. There's a lot of sensitivities, and I think they're pretty important ones, around the Queensland Nats and making sure that at the top that is represented well. So I think that what's going to happen here is going to be really interesting, and I think, you know, sure, it takes away this problem of Barnaby Joyce that we've seen over the last few weeks, but it's a bigger problem for the government because they're going to have a deputy prime minister potentially that no one knows that's going to be parachuted into the cabinet.
There's a couple of problems for the government. I mean, in one way, you'd think Malcolm Turnbull over there, all the way over there in Washington, will be breathing a sigh of relief. This is what he was after 8 days ago. That's what we all thought when he said, take the week, mate, and consider your future. And Barnaby did something completely opposite, and that's what's riled up his colleagues in the end. I mean, it may have been the sexual harassment allegation that got Barnaby Joyce to decide to do this finally, but it was that media interview with Fairfax that really got a lot of his colleagues riled up. He's meant to be going quietly so this thing could all kind of disappear. Instead, he steps forward and invites them into not just his home, but the very flat that he's getting rent-free, which is part of the issue. So it was that. So Malcolm Turnbull might welcome this, but a couple of problems. Yes, a low-profile deputy prime minister Is that such a problem?
Well, it's one less person selling the Turnbull government's agenda.
Well, that's true. And Barnaby Joyce, convincingly was such a strong retail politician, as we like to call him, and he was that. But they didn't always have that. I mean, you wouldn't necessarily say that some past National Party leaders...
Well, Warren Truss, let's be honest, didn't set the world on fire.
You said that. I didn't say that. Well. But the other possible potential problem down the track, and we don't know how this is going to work out. Barnaby Joyce says he's going to have his hands full. He's got his son being born in April. That's going to keep him busy. He's writing a book. He wants to support his colleagues in the bush. But he is also on the backbench, as is Tony Abbott on the backbench. And Malcolm Turnbull has a one-seat majority in the lower house. If at some point Barnaby Joyce's ambitions arc up again and he sees a chance, then he could cause a lot of trouble potentially for Malcolm Turnbull. But that is, we are getting ahead of ourselves.
Well, we're meant to. That's what we do on this podcast. It's the party room. We're having a party and we're trying to look into the future. Either way, a pretty significant, I think, day in politics. We haven't seen something like this. I just want to reflect on something Barnaby Joyce said about the way this has been reported. And I think it deserves a debate. We can't do it all here, but we're going to have this debate. And he made this comment that, you know, he thinks it's fair enough that people go for him. I'm paid enough to do that. That's part of my job. But he really went out hard and defended Vicky Campion, his new partner. And he said, again, used that same sort of Barnaby language. He said, you know, taking a picture like that of a pregnant lady on a street, he does not think it's acceptable for the media to do that. And, you know, it was interesting that he said that. Obviously, that has really upset them. It's really upset Vicky Campion. I mean, that's...
Understandably.
But whether that is fair game, I mean, that is the way the Daily Telegraph was able to establish the story and to provide some sort of visual proof. I'm not defending it, but the story now is what it is.
Yeah, look, I think a lot of people are uncomfortable with that because Vicky Campion, he's right, she's a bystander in a sense in the...
She was a staffer that was moved around,
staffer,
so she wasn't just a bystander. That's why it was more complex. She was actually a crucial political part of this story because of the fact that she was a staffer that was shifted around.
Yeah, but she's no longer a staffer and she is, in Barnaby's words, a lady, pregnant lady crossing the street at that point in time. But, of course, if Barnaby Joyce had confirmed the story with the very many journalists, as I understand it, who had asked him to confirm it, if he'd confirmed it before the by-election, for instance, as many people think he should have, then it wouldn't have got to this point. So I don't, you know... I think he should think too about his role and how he managed this.
So before we go, Fran, they'll sort it out. You expect now that Barnaby Joyce is going to walk in at 8 o'clock, as you say, and that there will be emerge a new Nationals leader. Does that give the government clear air next week? Because still estimates, all of that still focuses on Barnaby Joyce. Does that now less of a political headache for the government because he's now a backbencher?
I think it is. I think it takes some of the headline power out of it. I mean, if Labor goes too hard for too long, they start to look like they're flogging a dead horse when the bloke's already taken the step, paid the price, as they like to say, paid the political price. He's on the backbench. But it depends too. You know, there is still a formal allegation of sexual harassment. How is that going to play out? How public will that process be? Barnaby Joyce says that he wants the claim taken to the police. I've said it before, I don't think the police is the right place for a sexual harassment claim. It's normally dealt with within a workplace, I would have thought, or in this case, it's a formal complaint to the Nats, so for them to investigate. But these things need to play out. But, you know, I think you could assume that it will quieten down soon.
Well, the intensity isn't there. I mean, he can't be asked questions from the opposition. He doesn't have to go and stand up in the parliament in the question time and answer it. Oh, Fran, what a couple of days. It's been very enjoyable to digest the politics with you in person.
Yeah, well, it's been great fun. I'm presenting Insiders this Sunday and all, of course, a Friday afternoon press conference rewrites the whole story. So I've got a little bit of work to do.
Very new, very new. It's also new. It's a brave new world. See you, Fran.
See you, PK.